Hello, folks, and welcome to the podcast from the pit lane. And extremely sorry for missing out on the last Grand Prix, but we were kind of boycotting the social media, although we are not that much active right now, but we were planning to get back. However, you know, we thought, let's go on to this too. But the main thing is we are back and we have a guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Prugo Joshi. And he'll be joining us.
Hello guys.
And that's a kind of warm welcome from Paji right there.
Yeah. Actually, I know this guy since last 2 years, working with him.
Yeah.
He's a person, motorsport enthusiast, obviously. And
let him introduce himself. Prugo, introduce yourself completely and tell us when did you start watching F1? Why do you love it so much? And what's your prediction for 2021?
And also mention that is Mazepin your favorite driver?
Well, that's an obvious answer. But yeah, hello guys, I'm Prugo Joshi and I'm kind of watching F1 since 2011. First Indian Grand Prix and Michael Schumacher moved to Mercedes team. And I love F1 because it has a lot of technical side going on things, and they are sort of from past 2 years it has been not that much racing kind of stuff, but yeah, I love F1 still. And yeah, my prediction for 21 is obviously Hamilton 8th championship. I'm hoping
everything.
Yeah.
Every record over there.
I hope I am jinxing it, but
no, seriously, man. There are a lot of people with you on the same boat right there that think that Lewis will grab on the 8th title this year.
Get in there, Lewis.
Moving on to the kind of the circuit that has a boring tag on itself, the infamous Spanish Grand Prix. So a quick race rundown for you. The top 10 of this race were Hamilton, Verstappen, Bottas, Leclerc, Perez, Ricardo, Sainz, Norris, Ocon, and Gasly. And as mentioned in the last episode, we have started our own, the Sivinala Championship. And you know who is the leading driver. I don't think that anyone would have to take the second game.
Hey, Lord.
I'm not, guys. I'm not interested in the first. Tell me who's second.
Our Iceman.
Oh my God.
Thanks to his previous race outings. He was struggling the whole weekend in Portimao. So it only makes sense that he's second, but here are the top 10. First and foremost, the Lord, the legend, the myth, the God himself, Nikita Mazepin. Second is Kimi Raikkonen, Sergio Perez in third, Yuki Tsunoda,
yeah.
Antonio Giovinazzi in 15th, Fernando Alonso in P6, Lando, the meme Lord Norris on P7, Pierre Gasly on P8, Carlos Sainz on P9, and our Mick Schumacher on P10. So you see, there are a lot of drivers who have changed teams recently on top 10. So it kind of makes sense. So yeah, so this.
And before we confuse our viewers, this top 10 work of Sivinala Championship, the championship we created. This championship will contain all the DNFs, all the crashes, and all those kind of points. And we'll see who wins this championship. You already know who's going to win it. But yet, we are still doing this championship. So just wait for the trailer. Trailer is coming soon. We are launching the trailer soon. Probably this week. I hope so. We are working on it very hard. So just keep looking out for it. We're going to launch it on our YouTube channel and on Instagram channel too. So just keep watching out for it. So yeah, move on.
And in case if you are wondering how complicated the point system is, of course, I have designed it. Thank you for all the cheers. Thank you. So all the point to
right now, once you just behave like Mazepin. nobody praised him, cringe. But still he's praising cringe. Himself.
That was pure cringe, I guess. Let's move on.
But you can find all the points down in the description below. So yeah, give it a look. And now finally moving on to our Grand Prix itself. And before moving on to the race, let's take a moment and discuss Lewis Hamilton and his 100th pole position.
Seriously, salute, man. This guy is
he a god?
The definition of consistency.
Actually, pardon
me. He is the definition of consistency. Seriously.
Pardon me. I said something very wrong. Please forgive me for this. Sir Lewis Hamilton's 100th.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought that Max had it covered. He was looking strong on his, you know, second flying lap. Perez has already beast it into the gravel, so I wasn't expecting any heroics from him. Bottas was looking quite strong. So I know I was very wrong, but I had thought that Lewis could be either P2 or P3 and Verstappen might have an edge in the quali because of the pressure that Red Bull currently have around them, that, you know, it is very obvious that Mercedes could dominate Monaco.
I do agree with you, but I thought a little bit differently. We all seen what Bottas has done in Q3. He's always been that guy who always comes up to the first position on Q3. He always tried to gain that position, you know, to get lead in the race. But yet, he wasn't able to get that position because Verstappen put a, you know, that time 1:16. If I remember correctly, in Q2. He put 1:16 of time. I think I'm right. Around that. 1:16.8 or 1:16.9 something time. And that nobody could beat that time in Q2 on their second run. Afterwards, Q3 came in and then we saw all of them going into softs. We saw that same strategy in Q2. We saw that same strategy in Q1 also for many teams. Q3. And I thought that if Verstappen could set 1:16.8 or 9, whatever that was, in first run in Q2, he would be able to do the same in much lesser time, right? Around 1:16.57, something like that. Then Hamilton go for his first run. He put a time lesser than that. Bottas gone second. And then Verstappen came in and then Verstappen goes second again. So, it was quite an amazing run from Lewis Hamilton. You know, we've seen him consistently win Spain championship for 4 years, I think. Yeah. 4 years,
just to let you know, guys, but just to let you know, in a very layman's language, the gap between Hamilton and Verstappen, do you know the exact amount of gap, what that gap
it was,
is?
It was in thousands. Less than...
Eight thousandths of gap, I think.
Eight thousandths of a second, which is the eighth part of the blink of
an eye. Of a second, yeah.
Of a blink.
Yeah, just imagine a second. The blink
one
of
part of a blink. Yeah.
Just consider the gap, that what exactly gap is. Thousands
and
of
that
people
was...
sitting onto these racing machines. These two guys driving like crazy over there and putting out this gap.
And yeah. You know, regardless the result of...
That's why we love F1.
Exactly. You can't predict anything.
And regardless of this Spanish Grand Prix, the championship still looks pretty close, given the past 2 years, in particular 2019 and 2020, the kind of domination that Mercedes have shown. This year does look that Max could at least challenge till round, say, 16 or 15 maybe, till almost past the halfway mark, I guess. You know, there are a lot of changes after mid-season break. That is for sure. A lot of teams bring in upgrades and some give up developing their car, especially with 2022 regulation around the corner. So there will be a lot of ups and downs. But yeah, getting this Grand Prix underway turn one, as usual, Verstappen versus Hamilton. Verstappen sending it down the inside of turn one, and it was just okay. I'll catch you later. Skips to the side, and
but that move was aggressive. That move was aggressive.
Very, very aggressive.
But he had that chance only to pass Hamilton. So why anyone would lose it? Definitely. But
the same thing he did in.
And again, an appreciation for the great start from Max. Amazing. The reaction time was better than Lewis.
Yeah, exactly. Not just the reaction time, the starting of the lap was amazing for him too. Exactly as similar to the Italy, I think.
Imola, right.
Yeah. Although, as similar to Imola, he had the same pace as when he did the move on the first turn. When he did, you know, in Imola, he did the same thing. He went aggressive on the first turn and he got the lead. Same thing he did on the Spain's GP.
Yeah.
So it was an amazing for him.
What do you
think? I guess when the lap ended, the gap was around 1.2, I guess. 1.2 seconds.
1.5, yeah.
1.5.
Yeah, what do
amazing
you
lap.
The move, Rugu. What do you think about it?
Well, it was obviously, as Pari said, it was a very aggressive move. I don't know how they just didn't crash. And, Hamilton just, you know, Hamilton just left that. Yeah, I'll leave that on strategy. I'll catch you later.
No.
But yeah, that did disturb Bottas. But yeah.
When it comes to strategies, coming on to that later, but I would like to take this moment to appreciate how, you know, how crazy that pit stop gamble was. It could have backfired. Just imagine if Lewis had locked up on four tires and things like that. So kudos to the Mercedes team. But however, we are moving on turn three. And a very unexpected thing happened. Charles Leclerc around the outside on turn three on our dear boy, Valtteri Bottas. And
what pulled an Alonso in 2013. Alonso did the same thing in a Ferrari against a Mercedes at the same turn at the same lap.
Yeah.
So he did the same thing as Alonso did and the same side. Alonso also overtook him from the left side outside of the turn, and he did the same thing. He took the overtake over Mercedes outside of the turn. It was an amazing. Bottas was under a little bit of pressure. He was still, you know, recovering from that breaking point against the Hamilton, as Hamilton had to back out from Verstappen's aggressive move, and that led to whole grid backing out behind him. So when Hamilton starts recovering, he could recover very quickly. But Bottas wasn't able to recover very quickly. So that's how Leclerc got the chance, and he took that chance.
But to spare some stake to Bottas, the grid on the right side of the track, which had Max and Charles Leclerc on P2 and P4, had dramatically cleared the discarded rubber, which helped both Max Verstappen and Charles Leclerc with their starts. You have the minimal amount of wheel spin when there is less amount of, marbles, as we call them, on the track. So that definitely helped him. Obviously, you have cars in front of you, so it is very easy to get a slipstream. And I think that is the most crucial thing that handed Charles Leclerc the position. Your thoughts, Paji?
Amazing move, first of all. But if you look out, I think most of Formula 1 pages have just kept the comparison video of the same. If you just look out the handling of the cars back in 2012-13 and here in 2020-21, the easiness you feel. You know, Charles Leclerc was very comfortable with that move. He was doing, the steering input was very top notch, but at the same time, Alonso, he was struggling with the car at that point. He was just pushing the car to just keep the car on the track.
It's all about it is all about downforce, man. Downforce
exactly.
Evolved.
I'm just trying to compare the cars of what the technology and what the manpower and what the
and knowledge. If you look at the graphics, both of them, you know, comparing the sides, if you look at those graphics, you'll see that a top speed of Alonso was around 260 kilometer per hour, yeah. While Charles Leclerc was going much faster than him. So it's definitely, we can see there how much F1 car has been, you know,
evolved
in an amazing machine, yeah. Which
all in all,
current... Prabhu, give us some insight about it. You've been experienced with some. I've heard from Paji that you've been experienced in this kind of thing. So just give us some insights.
The old cars were, you know, short in length and they were nimble, obviously, because they are short in length. And in corners like that, in Barcelona, turn 1, 2, 3, you just have the car in rotation. So if you go around the outside, it's just very hard to go around outside, because if you put a single wrong foot on the accelerator pedal and that's it. If you spin, or you just end up in a gravel. So yeah, if we can compare with the what Fernando did, it was a great move from Fernando. But yeah, as you guys said, that cars have evolved very greatly, and if you watch the Charles's move around the outside, it was very much smoother than the Fernando, because cars are crazy lengthy. I mean, they are very long cars, these cars in 2021. So yeah, you have that just that benefit, that car is less nimble to go around the corner. You get that stability from the chassis, and you can move around from the outside very easily.
To cut the long story short here, the current gen cars are big bad brothers of previous gen, you know,
obviously
cars. However, moving on, and this would relate to a Zvinala championship. First retirement of the race, the first blood, as we like to call it here in Nation Formula One and podcast from the pit lane, was Yuki Tsunoda,
who
in the news regarding his speech over the radio in qualifying. But this guy had the best of the weekends in Spain, did he?
And literally, Yuki would be thinking that, man, I was complaining you. Why didn't you listen to me? If you would have listened to me, we might would have get 2 cars into the points. So yeah, I could couldn't say anything
around the turn 10, and he would be like, first time with the Honda engine, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a lot of Honda DNFs under his belt. Fernando.
Not GP2 anymore.
I mean, after the insults from Fernando, the Honda got so frustrated that they'll be leaving Formula One next year. That's the impact that Fernando Alonso has on sport. But yeah, this was a first heartbreak for our dear rookie in the field. What are your thoughts that how will Yuki Tsunoda cope with this?
Let's just move on, because we all want to say one thing, that Yuki was complaining literally in qualifying, yeah. And they didn't listen to Louis, because there's a thing going on in F1 right now. They don't listen to second drivers, you know, they are just focusing on their first drivers, because they think that first drivers are the only one who's considered, you know, who will be take this team into the points. And that's the reason why they didn't listen to Yuki. Yuki had to apologize in front of everyone on social media, and then you know what happened in the race.
Looks like someone had a call from Marco itself.
Nice one.
PR people playing games, you know, go apologize on social media and stuff. So yeah, it's better to keep this aside. And
at the same time, a good content for Netflix, Trying to Survive.
Netflix will be happier. This 2021 Netflix will be like counting money, because they'll be like, oh man, we don't have to make anything from all this. we are getting contents for free, man.
But yeah. Nikita Mazepin as the poster boy for Drive to Survive Season 4. With a crash somewhere on Monaco.
You know, I've got an idea for Netflix right now. If Netflix is listening, I'm going to tag Netflix on this portion for video. I'm going to give an idea to Netflix, you know, make a mafia from of mafia kind of, you know, dress and everything for Mazepin. Put him in a poster and literally say drive or survive.
Do you want to play GTA over here? Are you serious?
because it is like Grand Theft Auto. You know? either you have to overtake Mazepin like you are racing him.
Like we play GTA down here. Every time we cross, each and everyone is scolding us. Do you want to play that over here?
Down somewhere in Haas facility, Mick Schumacher just putting in hours on the simulator, doing, you know, various long runs and quali runs and all. Nikita Mazepin would come along and push Mick and say, "Aaj gaadi tera bhai chalayega." Kind of.
Spin karega. Yeah. Spin karega.
Spin karega.
Hey, he wouldn't even do that. he'll say, no, you do everything. I'll sit here and I'll party.
Chal gedi maar ke.
This is what I...
I'll take a car for a spin.
I don't do this kind of simulator and things. I do real life racing. He'll talk like that.
I mean, we'll be seeing a lot of Mazepin Gedis over this season, I guess.
But don't forget, he's improving. He didn't spin.
Because he was busy obstructing other
drivers. Can you see this? Can you see this all of a suddenness on my face? I was laughing. He may lose this content.
But, you know...
No. That is true. You know, besides jokes apart, but both the Haas drivers have improved since the first race.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I'm pointing about. In Portimao also, we were not expecting a good move from Mick Schumacher, he did. But at the same time, over here in this Barcelona, they were consistent, no doubt, on the backside. But they were consistent.
At least,
had a pretty good race. They had a pretty good race. Strategy, I think, worked.
Mick Schumacher was challenging Giovinazzi at some point.
Exactly.
Alfa Haas is challenging Alfa Romeo.
That's
at one point, who set fastest lap in qualifying.
But actually, at the same time, both drivers were consistent and didn't had any sort of a costing mistake.
Yeah, and Mick is the guy who is
there's a lot
known
of
for that. Yeah, Mick is the guy who is known that he's not comfortable with the car in first year in junior formulas, and exactly, he's doing that in first year in Formula One, which means they have made some progress.
Exactly. I think
they made some progress. Exactly, there's that.
All the rookies this year on the grid, Mick Schumacher could be the biggest prospect 3 to 5 years down the road. And at least, if not Ferrari, I see him in at least a competitive seat, say McLaren. That is, those guys are on a roll. So if one of those drivers goes out or stands out a season, then I think Mick could be on his way. Because I don't think that Ferrari would be, letting go of Charles Leclerc or Carlos Sainz anytime soon. Not for the foreseeable future, at least. So the next good team is either McLaren or Alpine. And I could say, if Ferrari Driver Academy doesn't interfere, Mick Schumacher.
Exactly. That's what I'm about to point you out once you're down here. Because Mick is a Ferrari Driver Academy and McLaren and Alpine. I'm not sure about Alpine, but McLaren is having a good relation with Mercedes. So, you never know.
But if,
And there's a lot of time for Mick Schumacher to get into Ferrari right now. But if someone sees the potential he has, the protege, that everyone was looking for after Michael Schumacher, then Mick Schumacher is standing out in every position there is to be. And he is a complete protege for right now. And if Ferrari let other teams get their drivers, then I think either Aston Martin or Alpine would be the great choice for Mick Schumacher right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because McLaren is too far away from him. McLaren and Ferrari both are too far away from him. Because we are seeing that Lando Norris is doing amazing with McLaren. Yeah. So they're not gonna swap Lando. And Daniel has just swapped in McLaren. So I'm gonna think for 2 years we're gonna see Daniel in McLaren. Right. And if you look at Ferrari has both the young drivers, Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz. So I don't think Ferrari is going to swap their drivers in any future 2-3 years for right now.
Yeah.
So if they think that Alonso is not the best fit for Alpine right now, and Alonso should stay on the bench for another year, if 2021 season doesn't go the way Alonso wanted, then I think Alpine could go for Mick Schumacher.
Big dreams
on Alonso has to go for
Schumacher. A lot of big expectation on his shoulder from Nation Formula One guys on podcast.
Yeah.
However, are you saying?
Yeah, sure. No, sure.
Okay.
I was just saying that Mick has showed the potential. That's why people are expecting things from him.
Yeah.
In a Haas, if you are challenging Alfa Romeo and Williams in that kind of Haas, in 2020's Haas, then definitely you have potential to, you know, win a championship.
And not to mention, the name Schumacher comes with expectations.
Certainly.
Exactly.
So moving on, the next big incident would be the pit stop and Verstappen's slow pit stop. But in the meantime, there were some tense midfield battles, especially around the turn 3 and turn 4. Lance Stroll, Fernando Alonso, and all the midfield cars.
Yeah,
but crazy on the right hand.
Vanshil, we forgot one thing. Pierre Gasly's penalty.
Yeah, but that came somewhere after the Verstappen pit stop, chronologically. But
chronologically, on the 19th lap, Pierre Gasly pitted for his penalty, for 5 second penalty, and afterwards Verstappen pitted on 24th lap.
Right.
On 23rd lap, Bottas pitted.
24.
Yeah.
Gasly's 24. However.
Yeah. So
the battle.
Yeah.
I mean, Lance Stroll went off and rejoined, hadn't been that much on the gas. It's all up in the air. But that was some bold move from the Canadian that has to be appreciated on Aston Martin, which is somewhat not meeting the expectation. All the hype that Otmar had created pre-season and Sebastian going into Aston Martin, let's not get into all of that. I'm already frustrated with Aston Martin.
It's just
a similar, in a nutshell, it's just a similar situation what we had with Ferrari in 2020.
Yeah, exactly. It's
a similar situation with Aston Martin with this year.
The only unfortunate thing here is that Seb is again at the receiving end.
And the point is that Otmar is still saying that we've made some changes in this car now after the Portimao GP, and now we're going to see many, you know, evolution from these two drivers. We're going to see our car in the points and everything, and yet they're not having the same race pace as the midfields. So again, Otmar is hyping Aston Martin. Again, he's doing the same thing again and again, and he's not realizing that his car is not yet to challenge all those midfield cars. You have to work on it. You have to come back next year, or, you know, in after 10 races, you have to look into your car and think about that. It's not still having. You have to make some other changes, because there are some changes you can make. You have some points and all that we covered in our first podcast.
Right.
But let's see what they do.
I was just hyping about Aston Martin.
Looking at the main rivalries on track, Mercedes and Red Bull are having their thing. Finally, we are getting to see Ferrari versus McLaren, a legendary rivalry. Do you think that Alpine versus Aston Martin can be a thing?
bro, take it up.
Yeah, I was hyping about Aston Martin because, you know, they just said that we just have a similarities in the Mercedes rear suspension and our suspension. And you know, when they say they have similar structure, what is about? And I was kind of hoping that that car would perform really well. But yeah, that would be a, you know, teams to watch in this long season. I would just Alpine and Aston Martin, but yeah, Alpine is better. We have seen after Portimao, they have a great upgrades.
Yeah,
both drivers are. Yeah, Ocon is performing very well, and yeah, so yeah, Alpine is
race pace though. The qualifying was amazing from both the Alpines.
P5.
I think they are having same problem as Williams. As soon as it gets again, this is my, you know, something that I noticed. I'm not sure if this is the case. As soon as the wind picks up, especially when it's crosswind, Alpine seems to struggle. Again, nothing concrete, just my something that I noticed. They seem to struggle more.
And mostly, if you notice that, it only happens when it's a race day. So I think they are making some changes before the race day, after the qualifying and before the race day. There is a timeline between those two, and they are doing something with the car. I think they're trying to, you know, try some new mods or anything. They're doing something with it.
Qualifying, there are park forming conditions, so you can just, you know, change your front wing angles. Not much that you can change. So
I'm not allowed to go on to various.
I'm not saying you know, I'm not saying there's this. I'm just saying as you said, the front wing changes and that. Because I think they're trying to go for some new engine mode than anything. You know, because if they have the pace in qualifying, where they don't have the pace in race, either they could, you know, keep up the pace only for that qualifying. Because in qualifying, you don't have to go for 10 laps or 15 laps.
That's the point. You know,
only have to go up. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. The thing is that.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. In quali, they have very less fuel, and in race start they have lots of fuel, and the balance of the car changes. So yeah, the car is not adaptable as, you know, other cars, that when their fuel is low and their fuel is high, the balance does not, you know, the balance is not great in that Alpine car. It seems like that.
Exactly. But after this, we had the first pit stop had come in, and the first major pit stop that everyone were anticipating was Red Bull, and to everyone's surprise, Red Bull were not on their marks. They pitted Max and did a 4-second pit stop. They could do a double stack in that time frame, and Max was literally very calm about the whole thing, because, you know, I might get Lewis later on, but it backfired. But yeah, your thoughts on Red
Bull? No, I
pit stop.
I thought it was Max's call to pit earlier than Lewis Hamilton. It was Max's call, because it was a sudden call. It wasn't like a lap ago he said, I'm going to pit on the next lap. It was like it was his instincts that he said that I'm going to pit in this lap. And the guys weren't ready. They were still, you know, when Max came in, they got in to take the left rear and left front.
Then the
4-second pit stop.
The tires.
We literally saw that thing. The car stopped, and a guy from the back of the car.
Exactly.
4 seconds. So if we put it like that, that is some great feat.
That's a good one.
Exactly. Aston Martin did a 4-second pit stop even after having all four tires ready.
And so Sebastian Vettel again.
It was Sebastian Vettel again.
Shout out to that mechanic who knew that the tire was punctured in Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, exactly.
Great guy.
I mean, that was amazing. That was some experience thing going around in that Alfa garage. So yeah, a lot of, I think, more action in the pit lane itself rather than the on-track action. But yeah, at least something.
It's Catalonia, baby.
Huh?
You can't predict anything. It's Catalonia, baby. You can't predict anything. you have a battle in the pits on the racetrack.
I mean, the track itself is infamous just because to add to its, you know, infamity, I don't know if that is a word or anything, but yeah. To add to all the woes, this
gotcha.
Add to all the woes, the 2018, 2019, and 2020 Grand Prix over here have been so lame that people weren't expecting anything from this Grand Prix itself. So anything that would spark up the race is more than welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. This interruption had all to do with Zoom meeting limits. We are still on.
This interruption is sponsored by Zoom.
Exactly, it's sponsored by Zoom.
So, thanks to our sponsors, we had to introduce this cut to restart this meeting. Okay, regardless, the next incident was Lewis Hamilton pitting again, surprising everyone at the Red Bull. Even GP went on the radio to say it's Hungary 2019 all over again. Yet they decided not to pit Verstappen, just to keep the track position, which they did beautifully. So yeah, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, that is my question to all of you, starting with Vanchil. That what do you think if, you know, not just all us needs answer, everyone needs answer. What if Red Bull pitted Max Verstappen after two laps after Hamilton's pit? Would they be able to win?
You know,
would they, you know, if. Yeah, please go ahead.
On the fresher rubber, I think even if it was the very next lap or the lap after it, Max on the fresher rubber would be definitely more, you know, more fresh than Lewis Hamilton's tire towards the end. The fuel on the car would be reduced. So Max could have, I'm not sure, Max could have good chance. But then again, it's Spain. You have to consider all the traffic. Although it is markers, but you have to consider the traffic. So I think that could have played a big part on why Red Bull decided to go against it and did what they did. That instead of doing this and losing on P2, because Valtteri also had some good pace in P3. So if they decided to pit and Max gets stuck in traffic, they would not only lose P2, they could probably lose fastest lap 2 and concede P2 to come P3. So I think this is why Red Bull decided to go against the pit stop.
Yeah, but if you see it properly, then you've seen that Max Verstappen was, you know, pampering his tires. He was nursing his tires so that he could stay till end without pitting himself. So, you know, he wouldn't able to lose his first position. And yet, Red Bull could have done that, they could have told Verstappen that go ahead for these 2-3 laps as fast as you can, use all the tires you have, and we are going to pit after you that, and you create as much gap as you can in those 2-3 laps.
Actually, the thing was,
wouldn't it be better?
When Lewis pitted, Verstappen did have that much good tires at his disposal. The tires were done at that point, according to me. You know, because
I know, but as we all saw and as we all heard from the team radio and everything, that he was nursing his tire because they wanted to go till the end on the tires, but. Afterward, because they didn't expect it to Mercedes to pull out Hungary 2019. They didn't thought that they were going to do it again. And after they saw that they did it again, then I think they could have done was that worst happened that go as fast as you can, use all the tires you have. And then if you don't have a much grip, then we are going to pit. We're going to use that fresher mediums.
Right.
That would have probably, you know, got in their favor and probably that would have, you know, helped Max Verstappen, you know, keep his lead. Probably because Red Bull was much faster than Valtteri Bottas. Definitely.
But guys, at the same time, we are considering in this scenario, in this hypothetical scenario, we are considering if Verstappen would have pitted. Considering the situation over there, the only option was mediums. The only option. Do Red Bull had enough mediums or lower, you know, or lower run mediums?
Yeah, that was
in their pockets.
If they had it at all.
If they had it, they would have definitely moved for it.
Exactly.
If you have, if you would have noticed, even after 59th battle between Verstappen and Lewis, they shifted to new softs. They weren't even used. But at the same time, and at 43, Lewis shifted on to some run mediums, I guess. It had done few kilometers, but there were fresh enough to compete with Verstappen at that point. So, for me, it's a single doubt. Do they had enough mediums or do they had enough low-run mediums in their pocket to change the tires or not?
I guess that's why Horner and Max also was very publicly about Perez. If Perez was in P4, or even in P3, that pit stop would have been possible. He can force Valtteri to mistake or even use his tires.
Destroy his tire. But and we are also forgetting, and look, we are also forgetting that Max and pressure, he can make mistakes.
Yeah.
He can make mistakes, but at the same time, Lewis, he is consistent.
Lewis is perfect. Always perfect.
But Max, you know, that's there the are thing few that... chances, not like less than 1%, but there are chances that Max can make a mistake.
That's the thing about these two teams, right? In this season, that both of those this team's driver, second drivers, aren't performing they were supposed to. Valtteri Bottas isn't giving everything he has. I think he's trying, but he is not able to perform the way he wants. In the other way, Perez is still trying. He's still lacking. He is not in the top threes, you know, to give Max Verstappen that support he needs. And that's why these both teams are going to be till the end in that constructed championship competition. Because of this, that's why in this season, we are seeing that second drivers are, you know, being something like, I don't know what's happening with them, but I'm just not saying those, you know, top two teams, second driver performing as they were performing in previous seasons and previous races.
Exactly. But this
Perez,
driver thing, go ahead, Brugge, you were saying something.
Yeah, Perez and quali clipping just some gravel was very rookie mistake, which you would not expect from driver like Perez. That was just Daniel Kvyat in Japan stuff going on. And I am a Sergio fan, but yeah, man, that was.
We all are Sergio fan.
Yeah.
I mean, this second driver talk brings us to lap 52. Lewis Hamilton versus Valtteri Bottas. Not to hold.
No, finally,
battle on which Toto's table would be shaking like.
And finally, we able to see Nico Rosberg somewhere in that.
Somewhere.
You know, finally we want that Mercedes battle since the Nico left. And we wanted this battle. And finally, Valtteri is saying that I'm here to race. I'm not gonna give somebody else's my place like that. If you want my place, go and overtake me.
You know,
to overtake me. I'm not gonna give you like that.
That could bring the old silver war back to its old glory. As Nico Rosberg himself. But regardless.
No, I think there's, you know, I think there's one person who can do it, and it's George Russell.
I don't think that it would be with Hamilton. As soon as Russell lands in Mercedes, it would take a couple of years. But if it is Bottas versus Russell, then definitely there would be a silver war.
I was saying about Bottas versus Russell. I wasn't saying Hamilton was it. Where they think about it, if Hamilton is going to stay in the next season too, then Bottas is going to stay in Mercedes too. They're not going to swap Bottas or Russell.
On this topic, on this topic, Akshat, post-race reviews and post-race interviews, Lewis Hamilton just said that for extension of the contract or stay in Mercedes, he need to get to contact with Mercedes.
Usually like, he starts that talks in February and January.
February.
But yeah, he said he had a very bad winter. He and Toto himself had a very bad winter.
They couldn't even enjoy him. So you might expect some good results or you might have good news.
Bottas was given order that not to hold Lewis up, and Bottas like, hello, sorry, what did you say?
I can't hear you properly. Sorry, are you saying something? Because there's too much wind in my ears right now. I can't hear it.
Video check.
Exactly.
But that, yeah, exactly. Valtteri, Tim's time right now.
Yeah. That is, Valtteri, we all need to see. Although Hamilton was on much, much fresher tires, but that is the kind of battle we expect from Mercedes.
I want to hear Valtteri say that again, whomever it concerns. F you. But yeah, exactly, because literally right now Toto was clearly saying that you don't have the pace, just get out of the way, Hamilton pass, because we want the first P1, and if you can't, you are not able to provide us that position right now, so just get out of the way and let Hamilton pass by. And Valtteri was like, what? Valtteri clearly implement that if you want that position, you have to take it from me. I'm not gonna give it to you like that.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. But Lewis was like, oh. Anyways.
But in that, But in that manner, in that lap, Lewis lost 3/10 of a second.
Sector two.
That didn't make that much.
Very good turns over there.
He was almost.
Because he was like.
By 2 seconds.
Exactly. He was, closing the gap by 1.8 seconds in every lap. Man, that is some consistent performance from Lewis Hamilton. I mean, I've never seen a driver so consistent like him.
Do you even expect that Mercedes relying on a driver who is going to cover the 22-second gap and going to overtake
exactly
race and in very last laps? How can you expect this long of planning?
And there are less than 20 laps left. Only in around 18 or 17 laps, we have to cover 22-second of gap. And it's not like...
Seriously.
Yeah, and it's not like you have a big gap in front of you. You don't have to overtake any cars. You have to overtake those last cars, you have to lap those cars, and then you have to overtake Verstappen. So it's an amazing performance by Lewis. We've seen that performance since, from his debut, 2007 Canada first pole, and 2021 Spain 100 poles. I mean, that guy is, breaking every record is there in F1's history, and he's creating new records, and I think he's gonna break his own records in future if he stays in Mercedes.
I mean, Lewis Hamilton for you, ladies and gentlemen. And this brings us to the last major incident of this race on lap 59. After having driven crazy on those new set of mediums, Lewis Hamilton caught up to the gearbox of Max Verstappen and passed. I mean, wow. He did it. If only person who could pull this off was Lewis Hamilton. And I think Max Verstappen had accepted it, I think, 3 or 4 laps ago that I'm going to be overtaken. So, better prepare something alternate.
Yeah, and he, he realized that. He accepted it on the turn 13. When he saw Lewis Hamilton exactly behind him, only 5/10 away from him, because he knew, because there's a big straight coming from turn 16 to turn 1, and the gap is only 5/10. So if he opens DRS, he's gonna get slipstream DRS, then no one could stop him. then only Mazepin could stop Lewis Hamilton from overtaking him.
I think he did. Toto directly contacted FIA in the middle of the race.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, we could see those graphics. A team contacting FIA directly. Yeah. New graphics team contacting FIA. And Toto was literally frustrated. Michael, blue flags. That guy is costing this position.
Yeah.
He said, Mickey, get this guy out.
Mickey.
The frustration on Toto Wolff's face. And I pity that table, man. It would have received some, punches around the whole Grand Prix.
Yeah.
You know, if the battle like this, Lewis and Max have battled in Bahrain, where Max lost out to track limits, in Imola, down in turn one, in Portimao, on and off, yes, and in Spain, again. So it's 4 out of 4, Lewis having 3 of them, Max having last laugh only in 1 of them. But do you think, our final question of the day, do you think that Max could go all the way and take it to Lewis and get that title? We'll start from Brugge.
Yeah, I was saying that let's start from Brugge this time.
Yeah, I guess if he makes less mistake, we have seen mature Max in current years, and he could, if Red Bull and Sergio Perez is up to that form which is in Max is having. And I read it somewhere, then in 2016 Nico went and just removed the color from his helmet to reduce 60 grams of the weight. In 2015 he was running some greenish neon color helmet and he removed that color just to lose some 60 grams. And and you need that when you're going against Sir Lewis Hamilton. You need that thing. So yeah, and it's a long season. It's a very long season, and we have 14 points of gap already in 4 races.
Your thoughts?
So it's a tough.
Then, and I want to add something that even in Imola GP, Verstappen could win that race because there was a mishap in they. Not 100% was particular on their strategy. Mercedes wasn't that, 100% sure on their strategy. They pulled Valtteri Bottas earlier, but not earlier than Max Verstappen. So they couldn't, they wasn't able to undercut Max Verstappen. And those kind of things, moved favor into Red Bull. And that's how Max Verstappen was able to win that champion. That race. But, if that wouldn't have happened, we would have seen Lewis Hamilton win that race or Valtteri Bottas win that race again. So, Mercedes has a strong strategy team, has a strong car, has a strong team. Valtteri Bottas isn't performing that great, but he's still on podium. while Red Bull is still trying to get Perez to that position. Perez is still struggling to get into top 5 and podium is still far away from him. So, this kind of things isn't in favor of Max Verstappen. Max Verstappen is giving his 110%. So, he's still, he is giving everything. But there is some strategy issue. There is a second driver issue. And those kind of team, you say team effort. When there is a team sport, you say team effort. Red Bull is lacking in that. So, if they could have, debrief on those kind of things and they could have focused on Perez more than Verstappen, because Verstappen could do it on his own. He can go for a whole race without talking to his team, because that guy can think his own strategy. While Perez is in new team, so he needs that support from his team. So, I think they should have, support more Sergio Perez and think about him more, so he could be able to get that podium away from Mercedes and give more points to Red Bull and Verstappen.
Exactly. And do you think that Max could make it, Paji?
Tough question, obviously. Because we have seen the battles up till now, that how Mercedes is showing their dominance, like, bluntly, seriously. So it's tough, but let's hope for the best. At least we are having a very good season so far. At least we are seeing the competitions in the podium positions, in the midfield positions. So yeah, hope for the best, and just hope that midfield battle becomes even more stronger after the summer break.
Exactly, man. We all hope for the same. After all, we love the sport and we would love to see a repeat of 2012.
Just before ending it, up to driver standing, we have just seen battling for P1 between Hamilton and Verstappen. We are unsure that a P3 battle is still going on between.
Exactly, my man. We are finally seeing Ferrari giving hell to McLaren, and McLaren is still, you know, trembling that if they're going to get that P3 mark on Constructor Championship or
three,
not.
Three battles, Bottas, Norris and Leclerc. 40 to 47 yeah. points.
That is something to watch out for.
Seven-point battle.
Exactly.
We are not mentioning Charles Leclerc in this race, but his P4 was consistent. He was amazing. And he was able to keep the Ferrari in those top five positions.
That's exactly where Red Bull is lacking, to put Perez in that position.
Right.
So that's where Max Verstappen is struggling to get that, you know, points away from Mercedes and get those wins for Red Bull. And exactly, my man, exactly as you said, Ferrari is showing what they are doing past those years as a legendary team, and we're going to see Ferrari in those top three teams. I hope they end up as a P3 constructor this time, and we see Ferrari be the constructor championship in the next season. Let's hope for the best. See what happens.
Exactly, man. Every Formula One fan would like to see Fossey on the top step in both the driver championship.
Exactly.
The Constructor Championship and the very near future. So we hope, we wish the team from Maranello all the very best, although they are not probably going to listen to our podcast right now. It's going to take some effort to reach that level, but we hope that we get to that level and Ferrari get to that level very soon. But until then, we will see you in the next podcast, the Monaco podcast, and we will be back on social media for sure. Akshat, it's on to you.
From tomorrow. No, not from tomorrow. From just in an hour. I'm going to post something on social media. I'm working on it right now.
Let's see.
Yeah. No. You will see. Not let's see. You will see.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we are going to work.
This was our official social media admin reveal right here. Akshat.
Yeah, you're gonna see much more. I'm gonna be much more active on social media from now on. We're gonna work on it. As I said, please look out for our Swasthya Binala Championship. We are gonna be launching our trailer soon in 2-3 days in this week, 100%. And you're gonna love it, and you're gonna love that championship. I hope every other drivers follow that too, because they're gonna love it too. Because this is a fun championship. We are not here to mock anyone. We are out of respect. This is just for fun championship. Yeah, we are not. You know, probably F1 and FIA catch up to this and they start their new championship. I hope.
Exactly, man.
Let's see.
Yeah. So this was us bringing you the podcast from the Spanish Grand Prix, and we will see you next time when we will review Monaco. Until then, stay safe, guys, and keep
stay safe. Yeah, please stay at your home if you don't need to go out. Please stay safe in this pandemic and protect yourself and your loved ones. Keep following us and keep watching podcasts from the Pit Lane. Yeah,
ciao, guys.
Peace out.
Great one.